This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We're going to talk some NASCAR today, and we'll catch up from last week's race, get you looking ahead down the road. And let's start first. Martin Truex Jr. dominates Kentucky, and so a wide open field. I know we're getting closer and closer to the chase, but Martin Truex looks good last week. Take us through that, Rod. Would you say kind of stood out as having good rides at Kentucky this past weekend?
Well, I think one of the others that had such a great run this past weekend was Ryan Blaney. Even though Truex beat him out with about a 1.9 second advantage, Ryan Blaney came back this weekend. Blaney's had some bad luck as of late, too. He's with Penske this year. He looked really good at Bristol there for a while. I know he was really dominating there for a long time when we were at Bristol back in the spring, and then he got caught up in a wreck. And he's not had as good a season as maybe some people would have hoped he would have, but he came back. He had a great performance, and then you had Brad Keselowski who rebounded back, of course, from the big wreck that happened at Daytona. Then you had Kyle Busch in there. Kevin Harvick, of course, still up there in the front. Kurt Busch had a good run. Daytona, Firecracker, Coupe Zero 400 winner, Eric Jones. He had another good run. Eric Almirola, just proving that Stewart-Haas dominance is hanging in there. But at the same time, you had a Chevrolet driver. You had Kyle Larson. Then you also had another Penske driver, Blaney's teammate, Joey Logano, that had a good run for this Kentucky race that they had up there in Kentucky Speedway. So you had a lot of good ones that really were up there in the front, some names that we've heard before, but you had some people that were doing well at one point, and then the next thing that happened, Alex Bowman took on two tires, as a matter of fact, between stage one and two. And then, of all things, he's running to make some moves toward the front, pops a right front tire, hits the turn three wall, and he's out. And the accident that he had ended up stopping the streak of three consecutive top 10 finishes, and it ended for him a DNF-free season. So he picked up his first DNF of the season, and he had some good races here as of late.
So by my count, and counting is not as easy as it looks. So I'm looking at the schedule, and I see seven races until we get to the chase. So where would you say things stand? And I guess the chase starts in September, so kind of give me a sense. It's still a lot of racing to go, but then again, that window is narrowing for guys who need to get in contention, and of course the guys who are there try to get themselves ready. So how do you think things stand heading here in these last few weeks?
Well, it's getting narrow. I mean, that's about the best way you can say it. It's about as narrow as going three wide at Daytona, and you're looking for a fourth hole to kind of get through there to where you can go around three wide cars before you hit the turn. You're running out of time. You're running out of space for some of these guys. And, some of these guys are wanting to get in contention. You've still got the Kyle Larsons out there that's been running really well. You've got Eric Almirola that's wanting to get in there and get included into the chase. But right now, you've just got your big three, your big four out there with Kyle Busch, and then you've also got Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex, throwing Clint Boyer, give or take, considering how his race season may go. But you really can't rule out those Stewart Haas drivers out of this whole thing. But like I said, it's getting more difficult for these guys if Truex starts getting a little bit more, I guess, talented and, you know, starts getting the breaks a little bit more as this season goes on. It's going to be hard for some people to get in, and there will be people that gets in. They will qualify in there or be able to qualify in that that bracket. But then the pickings are going to be even more slim when they go into the playoff picture, because if it's just between these guys who are dominating so far, we're not going to have much of an exciting finish to this 2018 NASCAR season. I mean, when you've got your big four out there, that could almost seal it up to say for people, I don't want to watch it. I don't care. One of them's going to win it, and one of them is not my favorite driver. You're hoping for somebody to come out of nowhere and really make a jump into that. And right now, unless things change, we're not going to have that unless, but of course, we've still got Michigan to go. We've got New Hampshire coming up this weekend. We've still got Michigan. We've still got to go to Bristol, and that's in 4 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, about 4 or 5 weeks. So it's getting closer, and Bristol will make or break some of these drivers getting ready to go into the playoffs. And then you still have Darlington. You still have Richmond. You have Martinsville. You have Talladega again. It's going to get very interesting.
Yeah, last couple of weekends, it was Saturday night under the lights back on a Sunday afternoon this coming weekend. And, in fact, the next night race is that Bristol race that Rod mentioned. And, Rod will be there for Augusta Free Press. That's August 18th, a Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. So we'll look forward to that as we get closer to that. Of course, we'll talk a lot about that big weekend coming up. So now let's go back behind the... back in the garage here, we talked about Martin Truex Jr., his big win at Kentucky. Now he's talking about how contract talks are ongoing. So, you know, he's getting himself ready for this chase. He's in good position. He's coming off a big win. So talk about those contract talks.
Well, he's in contract talks now. The question is, will he stay with Furniture Row? You know, in one way, I think he doesn't leave. I think, you know, you've got the dedication there that he'll stay, and Marty Visser's been good to him there at Furniture Row Racing. Toyota has come through. Of course, they've got that alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing. To him, I mean, more than anything else, Mark Trick says that more than, I guess, anybody, Marty Visser and the team has some things to kind of figure out, and he does too. But at least the way that Mark Truex looks at it, I don't plan on anything different right now. That's what he is saying to the press right now. He's just wanting to give the team some time to figure some things out. Now, could he be a free agent and sort of be like Kurt Busch when Kurt Busch was not previously signed with Stewart Haas going into the silly season part, and then it kind of dropped off, and then next thing you know, boom, he's back with Stewart Haas Racing. It could be that. We don't know. But I don't think it's going to come to that situation. The sponsorship commitments, they have to be all in place. And Truex is a very marketable person. And I just don't think he's going to be leaving anytime soon from Marty Visser and Furniture Row Racing. But it's like Truex said, we've got to figure out how much money we've got to spend on things. And it's getting more expensive for these race teams to be able to field a competitive car on the track week after week. They've got to figure it out, and then you've got the sponsors at the same time who are wondering, are we getting our money's worth out of this? I mean, you go and you spend a lot of money, you expect your driver to be in, you know, the front or at least winning races. You just don't go and pop out $75,000 at a one-time race on a no-name driver because you don't know what you're going to get your money's worth out of. I've seen that happen many of the time to somebody that goes and wants to make the big race at Bristol, and they'll run, and usually they crash within 20, 30, 40 laps or something happens to them. They get caught up. So they're wanting their money to go in a good direction, and I'm sure Truex is looking at that too, because you got to remember, you've got the energy drink on there. You've got I guess it's 5-hour energy drink is what they have, a sponsorship. They also have Bass Pro Shops on there. Furniture Row is helping them out as well, but they may be looking for someone else that's going to pick up and maybe carry them over, because we're looking right now, this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Petty Motorsports will be running a pretty plain Jane car. It's going to be in the Richard Petty STP colors that they've had, but they don't have sponsorship per se going into this race at New Hampshire. They're going to be carrying the medallion, I think the medallion financial firm that's going to be on there with them. So they're going to have a little bit of a hard time. Of course, they've got the money that they've got them to this race, but Truex is looking for something that's going to be a little bit more solid down the stretch. You know, I'd say he probably wants to end his career maybe with Furniture Row. They've been so good to him, and he's been good for them, too. He's kind of brought that back of the one-car team being able to bring back and be more competitive on the circuit like they have been.
Oh, some more contract news. Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. Now, Knaus's contract with Hendrick was supposed to come up at the end of the year. They've been together 17 years, and so the news this week is Knaus is back through at least 2020. Jimmy Johnson hasn't, he's been in the championship picture, but he hasn't been in the championship circle the last couple of years, but certainly among the more successful teams in NASCAR history together for at least a couple more years.
Yeah, and, you know, this is big for Johnson. This is big for Hendrick Motorsports because they were not sure if Knaus was going to stay with them. But, you know, Johnson is signed through 2020, and right now he's 12th in the standings. He's involved right now in the biggest, longest winless streak of his career right now. He's up to 41 races where he hasn't won. He's come close a couple of times, and then he's had a lot of bad luck. Knaus has always been the catalyst for him when he's been at the track. Knaus has always been able to help him get back to where he needs to be. And right now, I think that they've got this out of the way. We might see a little bit more of a move of aggressive driving, aggressiveness from Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. Now, some people might say the first thing when I say Chad Knaus, they think Chad Knaus is cheated. Chad Knaus has done things on the track. Well, who hasn't in the NASCAR pits and down in the garage area? One time or another, people have sneaked things on the NASCAR officials, and sometimes they've gotten by with it until they get to post-race inspection. Knaus has been in trouble several times, and so it kind of solidifies at least you've got that steady pace right there of having a great car chief, a crew chief, and Chad Knaus, and then you also have it in the driver, Jimmy Johnson, and he's got all kinds of confidence in Chad Knaus, and Knaus does in Jimmy Johnson, too, and I think it'll be, of course, for two more years. It'll take him through to 2020, then we'll have to find out where both of them are going to go from there. If they'll re-sign or if Johnson will say, I've had enough too, it's time for me to move on. Because, like you said, he's been there 12, 13 years. We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Levon Family Racing considering a switch to Toyota. We talked about the Toyota, some switches on their side last week. So take us through this and what this might mean.
Well, if Toyota is able to get another manufacturer, Toyota able to get another race car driver and also team in the stable and Levine Family Racing, it could be a big plus for them because it provides them with another outlet for testing, also with finding out about car setup and being able to share that. The big question is right now, this is what I think they're probably going to do. The talk right now is that if Levine Family Racing switches over to Toyota in 2019, it will open up a door with another alliance with none other than Joe Gibbs Racing. Now, there's not been anything announced as of yet, but Joe Gibbs expects to have Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series in 2019, but then they're probably looking for him to maybe move on up to the Cup Series by 2020. But this alliance between LGR, or LFR Racing, and JGR could allow Bell to get some driving time, some time in that 95 car. And then Casey Kane, he's not there for a long period of time. They got him this year just to kind of put him in the car to give him some kind of a drive this year in order for him to kind of continue his career. Casey Kane could be somewhere else before all is said and done, but they could be able to go with two teams there and get some much-needed experience before they get Bell into a car by the Monster Monster Cup of 2020. So it's possible, but you know, Toyota's looking at all the stops right now to try to come up with more teams and build that racing alliance to where they could share information, knowledge, and data to all the other Toyota teams to where Toyota continues their dominance of the sport.
Okay, so I probably have too much fun with this part of racing, but Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kyle Busch, Stenhouse is saying to our good friend Rowdy Kyle Busch, stop mouthing off. I love it. What's going on there?
This reminded me of something out of I'd see on wrestling. That's the way it kind of boiled down with this. Kyle Busch was at the press conference on Friday at Kentucky Speedway, and he just ripped into Ricky Stenhouse, and he told the media that was there, you wipe out half the field, I'm pretty sure that, you know, it would be a pretty busy Monday for him, but apparently he just doesn't care. Now, that's Kyle Busch talking about Ricky Stenhouse. He later went on to say, Kyle Busch says that he's not going to race Stenhouse any differently, but then Busch turns around and says, one more time in the press conference, I can't worry about people that far back in the fields. He's worried more about being in front, which is fine. Have no problem with that. But it's the delivery that Kyle Busch gives to the media. There were a lot of chuckles inside the media center at Kentucky Speedway when they were listening to this. And then later on, they went to Stenhouse, who was out in the pit area. He's 16th in the standings. They did talk a little bit between rounds of qualifying Friday night. But Busch still had to run another round. He was sitting in his car, but what they ended up saying was, Stenhouse said to Busch, you didn't run your mouth. And then he said to him, he says, you need to pick and choose your battles wisely because you're going to deal with me sometime, whether you're lapping me as we get our cars better, we're going to be up there with you, according to Stenhouse. So if he wants to keep running his mouth, as Ricky says, he can come over and do it around me, or I'll stop it for him myself. This sounds so much like WWE without the flare and the flash. But I'm telling you, there could be some sparks between these two as the season progresses on here toward the championship. And Ricky Stenhouse could cost Kyle Busch a chance at the championship. You just don't know how this scenario is going to play out before all is said and done.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing, you know, yeah, it puts butts in seats. It gets people talking. So that's a good thing for the business. You know, they got to be careful, got to walk the line a little bit there. But one last thing we'll go into here. Everybody's familiar. Last week, the Twitter purge underwent. I didn't lose anything, luckily. I've got 2,400 roughly followers on Twitter. But, I, you know, that's not a lot. Most of my followers are on Facebook, and luckily Facebook hasn't seen anything like this. But Twitter's easier to fake the accounts for. We've seen a lot of this in the news lately. You know, you saw politicians, you saw some major sports figures. Well, NASCAR not immune. I saw that a lot of teams lost, you know, a significant number of followers, drivers individually, and also some writers losing some Twitter followers. So, Rod, you know, take us through this and the impact on NASCAR.
Well, the impact on NASCAR is that they're trying, some of these teams and NASCAR itself is trying to get a better handle on what news gets out there and what is right and what is wrong. And I hate to use the term, but there's been too much in one way fake news that's been put out there in the NASCAR ranks about some of these drivers and some of the things, and also these people that go, and you know about it as well as I do, you've got people that go and hijack the .coms and things like that to keep people, to get people to pay a big amount of money to get that away from them or whatever the case may be. But in the Twitter purge, this has been a lot of information. These have been fake accounts that have been out there either by fans, drivers, in those names and different things that have gone and at one point or another can ruin the driver's reputation. It's sort of like the thing that I will tell you about here in just a minute about the little thing that happened down our way here just a few weeks ago, but I'll fill you in on that. This is stuff that NASCAR has been trying to get a hold of here for a long, long time, and that is who puts out real news, who puts out fake news, who is believable, and who is not. Now, some of the drivers, they were affected from the purge too. Denny Hamlin, he has 55,000 followers stripped from his Twitter account. Brad Keselowski, 26,300. And Denny Hamlin's numbers were 780,500 followers, but then 24 hours later, they dropped to 725,000. And they go on there, they look at the content, they look at who these people are, and who has set this account up. And then that's when they really decide to kick in with this, whether or not they're going to keep this account or not. Now, it wasn't just the drivers either. It affected the NASCAR Media Corps. I didn't lose anybody of what I have. I've got kind of a low following right now. But Jennifer Ryder, who writes for the Associated Press, had a chance to meet her at Bristol. She had the biggest drop at 3,300. She lost a lot of people right there. And then there was another guy who has been at the races at Bristol as well, Jerry Jordan. He's the editor of another website, Kicking the Tires. He lost about 1,000 of his followers, down from 6,657. So it's one of these things of where they're going in and they're cleaning these accounts out to make sure you don't have situations that happen. This is where I'm leading to, of a young man who this past week or in the last couple of weeks pulled a prank phone call on, of all people, Nick Saban of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Had you heard about that, Chris?
I did, yes.
Well, to be honest, I didn't know anything about it until I saw the headline down here. It was a young man that plays basketball at the high school, or did play basketball at the high school, where Georgetown signee, Mac McClung, played his high school basketball here for his career. And they pulled this of somebody just getting a hold of, the guy got a hold of the number of Nick Saban, talked to him on his vacation, wondering whether or not he was going to go and he was going to, you know, come and see his son at the little local high school in East Tennessee and whether or not he was going to do anything about it. They're trying, this is what NASCAR tried to do. NASCAR is trying to purge some of these people out there that either hold themselves in high esteem, so to speak, as an authority, or at least something of an authority when it comes to NASCAR, and trying to find out all this news. And then what they do is they find out, no, they're not in it except for to try to profit from it or to try to get more followers and different things like that. And that's what NASCAR tried to do, and the teams got in on it as well, trying to kick some of these followers out that most of them are fake. It's just like the thing with Facebook and everything else. Sooner or later, you find out who your friends are and who is out there and who really cares about you and who doesn't. And that's what NASCAR was trying to do.
Well, you know, and that's it. We've seen that across the board too. And NASCAR is trying to weed things out on their end. And, you know, I work, I mean, part of my job during the day, I guess, is I work with companies on social media strategies. And, you know, it can be frustrating when company you work with, their competitors are obviously buying fake followers to make themselves look good. It doesn't do them any good in the end. So there's that aspect to it too. You know, we spend all this time trying to reach, you know, to increase our social media presence, and it's really all about, in the end, whether you know you have a million followers or 1,000 followers, you want to sell tickets, you want to sell sponsorships, et cetera, but it's just leveling the playing field. I applaud Twitter for dealing with this issue, you know, let's see some others fall online as well, but yeah, you got to be careful in this day and age. You know, you mentioned the phone call to Nick Saban. There was a fake phone call to President Trump apparently a few weeks ago. You know, this is stuff that actually impacts. We see the gaming community has been up in arms with this. You know, you hear about people who get pranked with SWAT team phone calls coming to their house, and you know, so it's a weird world we live in. You know, there's a lot of great things with social media, with the internet in general, but there are some drawbacks, and you know, good for NASCAR taking this head on.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, this is something that is going to have to be dealt with in the day and age in which we live in. And, you know, this big thing about cybersecurity and so forth, if somebody is really intent on doing it, they can hack you, they can take you down, they can create all these fake accounts, and then before all is said and done, you can't go and get a handle on them because they have multiplied all these things that's going to ruin your reputation out there, or can at least take away from people that you might be looking for as readers, fans, or whatever the case may be. So it's a big purge, and you know, I don't think we've seen the last of it yet. I think there's going to be a lot more coming up in the weeks to come, and probably in the years to come as NASCAR tries to get a handle on this. I mean, hey, it's their product, it's their baby, and they're going to try to go and protect it any way they can.
So the race this weekend is New Hampshire. We're still a few weeks out from the second run through Bristol, and Rod will be there on behalf of Augusta Free Press for us there. So, well, Rod, I want to thank you for your time. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.